And so with that, let us stand and greet the man of God as he comes. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you.
Not sure whose idea that was to put those two up there. Who were those people? It was their first Sunday. Why did we put them up there, Robbie? It's their first Sunday here. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you, Riverside Church. Thank you for, it's been an incredible month for Pastor's Appreciation. It's been awesome. Tina and I are certainly enjoying this go-around for Pastor's Appreciation Month or a day or whatever we're calling it now. And so I am grateful for that. I love the videos. I love the testimonies. I love hearing how our ministry or our lives have impacted you guys. And that means the world to me. That blesses me more than anything. And so I'm grateful for that. I am grateful for my children. I love my kids. That was Sky and Jace. You guys know who they are, hopefully. I love them dearly. I have a son-in-law, Zach, who's like a son to me. I love him dearly. And I have a grandson, Wesley, who is just absolutely the greatest thing ever, and so I love him dearly. And so God has certainly blessed Tina and I with an absolute beautiful, beautiful family. They do love the Lord. I think hearing Sky say, they don't make us do anything. We do it because we love the Lord. We do it because we want to, is really a testimony. And I love hearing that because, you know, I spend a lot of time going through Sundays. My days on Sundays when I leave this pulpit, I'm thinking about what did I say in the pulpit. And a lot of times I say, I wish I'd said something differently. I wish I'd phrased that differently. And there's no worse critic on the planet than myself. And so to hear that, it makes my heart swell to know that, well, hey, at least we did something right. And so, you know, I'm grateful for that. Also want to make, you guys probably all know this because of social media, but so God's blessed us and God's expanding our family. Jace got engaged yesterday to Jessica Criddle. And so that was just a wonderful, wonderful time of celebration of that. So Jess, welcome to the family. And so we'll put her right in and make her work in the ministry too. So, and she'll come up here and say, you're not making me. I don't. So anyway, thank you guys so much. Do you love the Lord today? I absolutely love Jesus. You guys look good and you sound good today. I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to stand on this platform and to share with you the Word of God on this Sunday morning. I'm wrapping up the end of our new sermon series that we've been preaching called Listen Up, Tuning Into the Voice of God. My subtitle for today is The Voice That Leads. And so I'm excited to be able to share into the Word of God with you and preach this to you. I want you to do me a favor, though. I won't ask you to stand, but I will ask you to stretch your hand this way. And I want you to pray for me while I get ready to preach this word. I'm going to pray for you. And so let's pray for one another. Those of you watching by the live stream, I would ask that you pray for me and I'll pray for you. And we'll see where the Lord leads us on this Sunday morning. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day that you have given us. Thank you, God, for the privilege and opportunity to be able to come together in this church, to be able to worship and honor you. God, thank you for all the volunteers that help make this service happen. Thank you, God, for the worship team, the media team, the children's ministry, security, First Impressions. Thank you for the hospitality team and those who make the church look good and smell good. And so, God, I thank you for everybody who had a part in today's service. I pray, God, for everyone listening under the sound of my voice today. Let something be shared prayer that would stir our hearts, that would speak to us, God, and more importantly, God, that would change our lives forever. Help us, God, to have ears to hear, a spirit that is willing to not just hear the word, but do the word. Thank you, God, for your anointing that's in this room. I ask you, God, from on high to anoint this vessel of clay one more time, God, that I might share this word. Lord, I pray that you make preaching powerful, God. Not just a gift, Lord, but something powerful and transformational, God. I pray for your anointing not just to be upon me, but to be upon every listener that's in the room and everyone listening on the live stream today, that our ears and our spirit will be sensitive to the voice that's within the voice, the wheel that's within the wheel, the Spirit of God that changes and transforms lives. God, we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. So at the conclusion of the message, at the conclusion of the service, and at the conclusion of the day, we can lift up our voices, lift up our hands, and lift up our hearts and say, glory be to God Almighty, who was and is to come. We offer you praise. We offer you glory. We offer you honor in this room today. In fact, God, I'm so excited right now. I feel like praising you for just a moment longer. I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like lifting my voice. I feel like making a declaration. He is good. He is good, and his mercy endures forevermore. We applaud you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hey. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Each of us is on a unique journey, navigating the complexities of life, grappling with decisions and seeking guidance. We've all faced moments of uncertainty where the noise of the world around us seem to at times attempt to drown out the voice of God. We live in a fast-paced society bombarded with information and distractions that can make it challenging to discern what truly is important. Yet deep down, we all crave a connection with God, with one another, and with purpose. Each of us longs to hear that still small voice that I spoke of a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the prophet Elijah. That still small voice that guides us and reassures us that we are not alone. In our lives, we sometimes find ourselves asking, how can I hear the voice of God amidst the chaos that I live in? Am I really following the shepherd's voice? These questions resonate with all of us. And what I want you to know is that together we can be tuned in to the whispers of the one who knows us the best. Together we can explore what it really means to listen and respond to the voice of God. And so I want to spend the next few moments talking to you today about a voice that leads, a voice that we can hear, a voice that can be as clear to you as the one that you're hearing from me today, a voice that will guide you through uncertain times, through painful moments in our lives, a voice that will help you make the right decision, the right choice, whom shall I marry and where shall I live? What career path should I take? What church should I attend to? What ministry should I embark upon? All of those things, all of the questions that we have, all of the major life decisions that seem to weigh on us can be easily discerned and easily answered so long as you are in tune with the voice of the great shepherd. And so it is possible. It is possible for you to hear God's voice. It is possible for you to sense His leading. And as I described to you over the last couple of weeks, those impressions, those nudges, those leadings that I often get, maybe never the audible voice of God, but certainly the impressions and nudges that we feel from time to time, knowing that the Spirit of God is on the inside of us, prompting us, nudging us, pulling at us in order to sense and know His nearness. And so, if you have your Bibles, I'll be going to the book of John, chapter number 10, the words of our precious Lord and Savior, the words of our shepherd, the words of His voice echoing through the pages of the Word of God. He says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." If this was a Pentecostal church, that would have been the greatest place for you in the reading of the word to give a little shout or some type of indication that you know that he knows your name. And so perhaps it's because you may not fully understand or are having a tough time grasping the fact that the Creator of all the heavens and the earth knows your name. I wish I had some people in here that understood that the one who sits on the throne, whose eyes are like fire, knows your name. Who the one who is the great I Am, the one who speaks life, the one who speaks creation into existence knows my name. Is there anybody in here that knows that God knows my name? I wish I had somebody knew how to praise him for him knowing my name. Yeah. A lot of folks know his name, but does he know your name? Come on, somebody. He knows your name. He knows your name. He's not so busy that he doesn't know your name. There's not so many people on the planet that he doesn't know your name. He's not so aloof that he doesn't know your name. You ought to tell everybody on your row, he definitely knows my name. You ought to tell everybody on the row in front of you, he definitely knows my name. Yeah. Let them know all around you whose you are. He said, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse number 4, after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Verse number 5, they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. I like how the King James says it. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Verse number 27, and we'll end the reading for today of the text. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Ooh, I feel a preach coming on. Let me talk to you about the importance of knowing the voice. In verses 3 and 4, Jesus tells us the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. This highlights a fundamental truth that the sheep must know their shepherd's voice to follow him. In our spiritual journey, knowing the voice of God is paramount. But how do we come to recognize that voice? Did a little bit of studying for this particular message, and I found out that sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd through a combination of auditory and social cues. They have a strong ability to remember sounds and associate them with experiences, particularly those related to safety and care. A sheep understands, if you're a note taker, you can write this down, they understand familiarity. Sheep are social animals and form strong bonds with their shepherds. And over time, they become accustomed to the specific tone and pitch and rhythm of the shepherd's voice. Number two, sheep learn by reinforcement. When a shepherd consistently calls the sheep and provides food, provides sustenance, provides protection, provides guidance, the sheep associate that voice with positive experiences, and this reinforcement helps them to recognize and respond to the voice. Number three, vocalization differences. Shepherds often use distinct calls or commands that can be different from other sounds in the environment, and a sheep can differentiate these unique vocalizations from other noises. Number four, social learning. Watch this. Sheep are also very observant animals. They watch how others respond to the shepherd's voice, which can reinforce their own recognition and response. It's interesting that a sheep can certainly recognize the shepherd's voice through those four behaviors that help them to understand who their shepherd is. And that's why Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." They've come accustomed to knowing that's the tone that I'm used to hearing. That's the inflection I'm used to hearing. They associate it with something positive. He'll provide for us. He'll care for us. He'll take care of us. They're able to differentiate the noises of chaos and the noises of the world, and they're able to separate and say, "Wait a minute, I hear a still small voice and recognize that's the voice of my shepherd." And that's why they won't follow a stranger. They'll only follow the voice of the shepherd. The only way that you can do that is that you must cultivate a relationship with him. You can't just know about him. You have to know him. A lot of people in church know about him, but there's not a lot of people in the church that know him. There's a lot of people in the church that can pray the right prayers, sing the right notes, quote the right scripture, but do they really know him? I've been around, see, and I know I can spot a fake and a fraud from a distance. I can tell in a matter of moments whether you know about him or whether you actually know him. There was a priest getting ready to celebrate his 50th anniversary in the ministry. And he happened to be friends with a very world-renowned, highly trained, highly skilled actor. He invited this actor to come to the 50th anniversary of ministry to celebrate with him. This actor, very well known, very popular, very skilled, and very trained, oftentimes would quote the 23rd Psalm. He would get before the crowds of people at different functions, different parties, different events, and people would want to hear him quote the 23rd Psalm. On this particular occasion, the actor showed up and said to the priest, "I will gladly perform the 23rd Psalm, only if when I'm finished, you go after me and you quote the 23rd Psalm." And the priest said, "Fine, go ahead and give the people what they want." The actor gets in front of the crowd. He begins with great poise, with great distinction, to quote the 23rd Psalm. He begins to, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he goes through with such wonderful, distinct performance. And at the end, just like any other crowd he ever performed this in front of, the people stood, they applauded, they cheered, they were loud because of how perfect it was that he executed, with the inflection of voice, with the tone of his voice, with the way he did it, so beautiful. They applauded and cheered. And when he finished, he looked at the priest and said, okay, sir, now it is your turn. And the priest steps up, very meek, very mild, very humble. And he begins to quote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When he finished the 23rd Psalm, not one hand clap, not one applause, not one cheer. In fact, all that was happening in the room was the sound of weeping, the sound of crying, people brushing tears from their face, some trembling. They looked over at the world-famous trained actor, and they said to him, why is it when you did it, everybody cheered, but when he did it, everybody was moved and began to weep? And the actor looked at everybody, and he said, I know the 23rd Psalm, but this man knows the shepherd. See, it's one thing to know about him, but it's a completely different thing to actually know him. There's a lot of people that know a lot about Jesus. They can recite the seven compound names of God. They can quote scripture, and they can sing every note perfect in a worship service. But there's something about the man or the woman who may not say it right, may not quote it right, may not get it right. But when they open up their mouth, there's a distinction between those who know about him and those who actually know him. And I'll tell you this, I'd rather have people on the stage that know him and not just about him. Don't sing to me about him. Sing like you know him. Don't preach to me about him. Preach like you know him. Don't shout like you know about him. Shout like you know him. Come on, somebody. Take the next 20 seconds and give him praise in this place like you know the shepherd. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Come on and praise him. Come on and praise the great shepherd. My sheep know my voice. You have to have a relationship with him. Relationships take time. They take energy. You have to cultivate a relationship with him. It can't just be, I went to church on Sunday morning, went to Bible study on Wednesday night. No, you've got to be intimate with him. You know, the scariest verse in the Bible is found in the book of Matthew, I think chapter 27 or chapter 7-ish, and it says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never what? That same word in the Greek, translated out of the Hebrew, is the word no. That same word, no, is the same word that's used in Genesis where it said, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived a son. What does that mean? It means that he was intimate with her. When Jesus said, depart from me, you who work iniquity, you were never intimate with me. You don't want me preaching this today. No, no, no. You thought on Sunday morning that was good enough. No, he's looking for intimacy. He's looking for a connection with you. He's not looking for some surface relationship. He's not looking for some pass-by, quote a prayer, hear a prayer, say a prayer, and go on down. No, he's looking for people that know his voice. You'll never know his voice unless you spend some time with him. Unless you have a real relationship with him. You've got to be, I was never intimate with you and you were never intimate with me, and so you can depart from me. Who, the scariest verse in all scripture, in my opinion. I never want to get to that day and hear Jesus say, you were never close enough. You were never intimate enough. You were always distant from me. You were always lukewarm from me. I never want to hear that from the shepherd at all. And so you have to have a relationship with him. You have to be willing to spend time with him. And it can't just be a few minutes on a Sunday and a few minutes on a Wednesday. It's you have got to carve out and cultivate a relationship with the shepherd. Can you say amen? The second thing that we need to consider in understanding and knowing his voice, we must understand the role of the Holy Spirit. See, I think oftentimes in Pentecostal and charismatic circles, we have misidentified or we have misconstrued the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The role of the Holy Spirit in the Pentecostal charismatic circles that I grew up in, the role of the Holy Spirit was to anoint you, to make you a little more powerful in the performance of your ministerial duties. Made you pray a little better, made you sing a little better, made you preach a little better, gave you the ability to flow in the gifts. And while that is important and while that is a real thing, the role of the Holy Spirit is to really help you understand and discern when the voice of God is speaking and communicating to you. The role of the Holy Spirit isn't just to make us have another good church service on a Sunday. I love good church services on Sunday, but let's not reduce the role of the Holy Spirit just to a goosebump and a shout and a... No. Don't reduce him to just that. He's way more than that. Touch your neighbor and say, he's way more than that. He's way more than that. He's way more. The Holy Spirit is a he, and he's way more than that. He will help you understand and discern the voice of God. And for many of us, if you have trouble discerning and understanding the voice of God, you may need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I almost sounded like a Church of God Pentecostal preacher just then. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, this is how it sounds out of the New King James Version. Verse number 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. How does God reveal a thing? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Man, that ought to make you want to run around and shout your face off. You don't have the spirit of the world. You've got the spirit that is from God. Paul's teaching here that who can know the mind of a man except for the spirit of that man? The same is true for God. Who can know the mind of God except for the spirit of God? And that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead quickens your and my mortal body. That same spirit is dwelling on the inside of you. I want you to get a hold of that. The spirit that knows the mind of God is the same spirit that lives on the inside of verse 13. Oh, I feel like preaching a little bit. I feel like teaching a little bit. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Watch verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You can't use your carnal mind to try to understand the things of the Spirit. We try to use our carnal mind to understand the things of the Spirit. A carnal man will not understand the things of the Spirit. Only those who have the Spirit of God can understand the things of the Spirit. He said, they are foolishness to him. But he who is spiritual judges all things. But he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Maybe the problem is because we don't understand his voice or discern his voice is because there's too much going on in our. There's too much noise. There's too much on the peripheral. There's too much detracting, getting our attention, that we have not positioned ourselves and got ourselves spiritually sensitive enough to hear the Spirit of God. I told you, the Spirit of God will whisper to you because he doesn't want to compete with the noise around you. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. In other words, be quiet. Sit still. Quiet the noise around you. I've been talking to you the whole time, but you're operating with a carnal mind and you can't understand the spiritual things that I've been speaking to you. Because you're too busy being moved by the flesh, too busy being moved by your carnality that you can't hear the whisper of the Spirit that is speaking to you. Be still and know that I am God. Touch your neighbor and say, be still. See, understand the role of the Holy Spirit isn't just to make you more powerful for ministerial duties. The role of the Holy Spirit is to help you to understand and discern the voice of God, to search out the riches and search out the deep things of God, to understand what God's will, his perfect, pleasing will is for your life. See, he's been talking to you the whole time. You just haven't been in tune to hear him this whole time. Are you good or should I stop? I can keep going if you want. Okay, I'll keep going. I got a few more things I can share with you. Number two, that was point number one. I only have 3 points. Point number two, point number three will be quick and then we'll get out of here. Point number two, you've got to learn to distinguish the voice. In a world filled with noise and distraction, distinguishing the voice of God from other voices is critical. Jesus warns us about thieves and robbers, those who may lead us astray. The enemy often uses doubt, fear, and confusion to cloud our hearing. Here's what the Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit,
But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. To discern, we must test the voice that we are hearing. You've got to test the voice. Touch your neighbor and tell them, test the voice. 1 John already warns us that there are many false prophets out there. There are already many false teachers out there. There's already a spirit of Antichrist loose upon the earth, trying to deceive and manipulate the elect, trying to deceive the many. But you've got to be able to understand and distinguish, is this the voice of God? Is this the voice of an Antichrist spirit? Is this the voice of a false teacher or a false prophet? How do I know if this is the voice of God? Let me give you a couple of things that will help you. Number one is, what is being said to you? Does it promote love? Does it promote peace? Does it move you or produce faith or promote faith? God's voice will always lead towards truth and grace, and never towards condemnation and fear. Too many voices out there. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Let's go tell the king. Too many voices out there want to be able to determine the coming of Christ based on what the enemy is doing. Why in the world are we looking at the devil to be able to ascertain when Christ is coming? Why are we looking at darkness to try to figure out what the light is doing? Why are we pandering to fear? Why are we giving in to fear? Why are we talking fear all the time? You'll know it's the voice of God if it leads to peace, if it leads to love, if it leads to faith, it leads to truth. You'll understand. But if it leads to fear and condemnation and guilt and shame, there's a great way to be able to discern and determine whether you're hearing the voice of God or not. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to understand, if you want to know, is what I'm hearing from God? Is what I'm sensing, is this from God? Number one, is it producing faith? Is it producing love? Is it producing peace? Is the fruit of the Spirit being made evident? Is there love? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there patience? Is there kindness? Is there goodness? Is there faithfulness? Is there gentleness? Is there self-control? If any of that is evident, if you sense that and you see that and you fear and you feel that as you're hearing, chances are you're hearing the voice of God. It will never lead to fear. It will never lead you to guilt. It'll never lead you to condemnation. It will always lead to the fruit of the Spirit. That's a great litmus test to be able to determine if you're hearing the voice of God. Oftentimes, if people try to speak a word over you, I got a word from God, and they give you a word, if in that moment fear rises up on the inside of you, rebuke that thing. The devil is a liar. I don't receive that word. I don't receive what you spoke over me. I don't receive that. But if what they say over you, if it produces love, if it produces peace, if it produces gentleness, if it produces self-control, if it produces that, then you say, I receive that word of the Lord. I can't tell you how many times throughout the week I get a word from somebody that had a word from the Lord. I've got a desk drawer filled of, this is a word from the Lord. I get text messages filled, this is a word from the Lord. I get emails, this is a word from the Lord. Some of them are a word from the Lord, and some of them get put on a shelf for another time. You got to learn to put it on a shelf sometimes. Don't take every little thing every little person brings to you. I don't care how highly you esteem them. People miss it sometimes. This is why you need to understand. This is why you need the Holy Spirit in your life. This is why you need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God in your life. This is why you need to understand the Word of God in your life. You need to know these things, else you may become susceptible to a spiritual scam happening.
Nobody wants to get scammed. Nobody wants a scammer to call you up and talk you out of your hard-earned money. Yet Christians are more oftentimes spiritually scammed, believing some nonsensical junk because we haven't taken the time to learn the shepherd's voice. And so we fall for every wind of doctrine that comes our way. We're tossed to and fro and to, not fully understanding the word of the Lord or sensitive enough to the spirit of the Lord. And so I'm teaching you to understand. You need to know, distinguish the voice. Number three, you'll hear the voice. You'll distinguish the voice. When you have an understanding of the voice and distinguish the voice, the third part of this is you will learn to follow the voice. Verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep," watch this, "hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Hearing his voice is not just about recognition. It's about a response. Let me try that over here. Hearing his voice is not just about recognition. It's about a response. You sit in here every Sunday and hear the word of the Lord. And some weeks are good and some weeks are not. Some weeks you walk in victory and some weeks we walk in defeat. You hear the word of the Lord, but do you ever respond to the word of the Lord? I can't get nobody to help me in here. It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to respond. It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to do. A lot of people hear, not a lot of people do. A lot of people hear, not a lot of people respond. And they'll get up and they'll walk out of this room the same way that they came into this room because they refuse to respond to the Spirit of God that's been wooing them and beckoning them. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose because God set you up with a divine appointment to come into this room on this day to hear this word. And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to get up and walk out the same way you came in Sunday after Sunday? Or are you going to say, you know what? Today will be a different day. Today I'm going to respond to what I hear. And we'll look at people run to the altar and fall on the altar and cry and weep. And we'll look down our religious noses at them and say, well, look how pitiful they are. And the whole time you should have been the one running down here. They're getting their breakthrough. They're getting their transformation. They're getting everything they need, every miracle, every breakthrough, while you sit back there, suck on your lips, cross your arms, and say, nothing good ever happens to me. That's because you don't respond to the word of God. Somebody say, preach, white boy, preach. If I had an organ player up here today, I feel like preaching just a little bit. When we hear his voice, listen, the only response is obedience. The proper response to when the voice of God echoes through your heart, through your mind, through your being, the only proper response is obey. Obedience is better than. What we've done is we made sacrifice primary, obedience secondary. And the Bible says, I'll take your obedience over your sacrifice every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Don't sacrifice. I don't want to hear what you gave up, what you had to surrender, what you had to bow. No, no, no. Have you heard and responded? Are you obedient? And some of you up in here crying about, well, God promised me something 20 years ago, and I never got it 20 years ago. That's because you haven't responded to it like you should have 20 years ago. It wasn't the preacher's fault. It wasn't the worship leader's fault. It wasn't the church's fault. It wasn't the God's fault. It's not even the devil's fault. It is your fault. Because you up in here sacrificing, and he goes, I really look for obedience. Yes, but won't you see my sacrifice, God? I'm here every Sunday morning. I'm here every Wednesday night. I come to practice on Thursday night. I serve in the children's ministry. Nobody wants to serve in the children's ministry. I serve in the children's ministry. I serve in the First Impressions team. I serve on 17 different ministries. I should be able to get up and do whatever it is that I want to do because I've made copious amounts of sacrifice unto you, God. And God said, I wasn't looking for your sacrifice. I was looking for some obedience out of you. And you've yet to demonstrate any ounce of obedience. I'm going to buy my own CD after this service and play it going down the road. I'm preaching. So come on, angel, get up here, baby. Help me out. You got to learn to obey. You know what obedience will cause you to do? It'll cause you to step out of your comfort zone. It'll cause you to do things you're not comfortable doing. That's what obedience will do. It'll cause you to step out of things that, you know what it'll cause you to do? It'll cause you to extend grace to people that you have a difficult time. You know what obedience do? It'll make you extend forgiveness to people you'd rather stab them in the eye with a knife. And because you're harboring that murderous spirit on the inside of you, God isn't using you at the capabilities or the level that you think he ought to use you at. But that's because you walk around with a murderous spirit because you haven't extended grace, forgiveness, or mercy. But you're still up in here talking about all your sacrifice. Touch your neighbor and say, where's your obedience? Where's your obedience? See, a lot of people every Sunday across this great country of ours are in churches very much like this one, hearing the word of God. But only a handful will walk out transformed under the power of the anointing of God. Because they refused just to hear. They decided to respond. They refused to be a listener. And they decided to be a doer of what it is that they're hearing the voice of God lead them to do. Sometimes God will ask you to do a difficult thing. I wish he would only ask us to do easy things, but he doesn't always ask us to do easy things. He asks us to do difficult things. Love your enemy. Pray for those who spitefully use you. I know they've been using me. God, I don't want to pray for them. Pray for them. I don't want to forgive. Then you shall not be forgiven. I don't want to extend mercy. Then no mercy is extended to you. I'd rather sit in judgment than whatever tool you use to judge shall be measured back to you. To the same degree of judgment will come your way. Don't just hear, respond to the word when he has spoken. When he speaks to you, he says, you'll know my voice. And those sheep that know my voice, they follow me. He says, I am the gate. I am the gate. You know what we've done in the church for so long? We've gotten proficient, Elder George, at getting people to the gate. He said, you got to go through the gate. We get them to the gate. We never get them through the gate. We'll get them to the altar. We never get them through the altar. Preaching can stir you emotionally and elicit an emotional reaction from you. And while I love that, don't let it just be an emotional action. Let it be, I'm responding to the word of God. I'm responding to the voice of the shepherd. I'm responding. I want to be obedient to what it is that he's been speaking to me.
I want to be obedient. Could you do me a favor before I start to wrap this thing up, just while you're sitting there? Can you lift up those two holy hands before the Lord and just give him thanks in here? Could you just give him praise in here? Could you just give him thanks in here? Come on. Come on. You've heard the word. You've heard the word. You've heard it. Thank you for responding, Nelson. Respond. Thank you, brother, for responding. Respond. Respond. He's been talking to you, friend. He's been talking to you, brother. He's been talking to you, sister. I wish I can I get you to stand to your feet all over this room. I feel the Spirit of God breathing in this place. Come on, I feel him in this place right now in such a strong way.
And oh, how you tell me.
Come on, my brother.
That I am his own.
Do you believe that this morning? Come on, do you believe that this morning?
Yeah, he knows my name.
Come on, you haven't fallen so far off that
yeah,
he doesn't.
He knows my name.
You haven't messed up so bad that he doesn't know your name.
Yeah, he knows my name.
Oh.
And oh, how you counsel me. And it still amazes me.
Hallelujah.
That I am your friend. How you walk with me. Oh, how you walk with me. And oh, how you talk with me.
Come on, you're in this room with me this morning in the Spirit of God. He's been wooing you and beckoning you. Don't stand in your chair. He's been wooing you and calling you and beckoning you. Respond to the Word of God by stepping into the nearest aisle. Make your way to this altar. Submit to Him. Yield to Him. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. Follow me. Come on. If he's talking to you, if he's talking to you, if he's talking to you.
And he knows my name.
Come on, bless his name.
And oh, how you walk with me. Oh, how you talk with me. And oh, how you tell me that I am his own. How you comfort me, and oh, how you comfort me. And oh, how you counsel me. And it still amazes me. That I am your friend. and it still amazes me that I am your friend. And you know my name. 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 And oh, how you walk with me. Oh, how you talk with me. Oh, how you tell me, yeah, that I am your own.
While you're worshiping, I want you to understand that this is a very key component and aspect in you understanding and being able to discern the voice of God. Worship is not something you do to make you feel good. Worship positions you and puts you in a place where you quiet the noise of the world around you, and you your spirit becomes sensitive to His spirit. Prayer helps. Don't discount the power of prayer. Regardless of how long, how intense, it makes no matter. Spend time in prayer. Spend time reading the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. Play it on an audible. Whatever you need to do to get the Word of God into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit.
Can burn me. No battle can turn me.
Solitude. Sometimes getting away from it all. Remember, I talked the first week. God might put you in a cave. He might isolate you and ostracize you from all the distractions and noises of the world. Don't fight that. Spend a time alone. How many times do you read in the New Testament Jesus withdrawing from everybody? Withdrew from the disciples, withdrew from the crowds, withdrew from the ministry so he can be alone with the Father. Got to make sure you're spending time alone with Him. Worship Him. Pray to Him. Read the Word of God. All of these things are hypercritical and imperative for you to understand and discern the voice of God. Learn to be okay with being alone for a season. Let God talk to you. Find counsel. Proverbs teaches us that there's wisdom found in the counsel of the multitude. Find spirit-filled men, spirit-filled women that can provide wise counsel. You hear something from God, or you feel a nudge, an impression. Find spiritual folks and say, judge this for me. I feel like the Lord may be saying a thing, and will you help me judge this? Learn to judge the voices and the spirits that are speaking. Use the Word of God. Use the gifts of the Spirit. Use that to be able to determine hearing the voice of God or not. Those things will help you follow the voice of the shepherd. Those things. Do all of them. Don't neglect them. Do them all, so that you can be in tune with what God is speaking into your life. Then you don't have to wander aimlessly through life, wondering if, questioning whether or not, being able to second guess this or second guess that, knowing with full assurance, I've heard the voice of the Lord, I know the voice of God, and I'm following my shepherd. Amen. One more time before Norio comes back, just lift those two holy hands high to the heavens. God, we are your sheep, and you are our great shepherd. You speak to us, God. We'll know your voice. We'll follow you. We'll be obedient to you. Lead the way, God. Lead the way, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to the voice of God. Help us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, that we may follow the Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the one who provides, the one who cares, the one who walks with me, the one who talks with me, the one who knows me by my name. We love you. We honor you. We worship you. We bless you in this place, mighty God. One more time, angel. One more time. Can we hear that little chorus? One more time. One more time. Let's make that the ending of the sermon, this one little chorus, and just sing it with it. With Angel, if you don't mind. Go ahead, Angel.
And he knows my name. He knows my name. Yeah, he knows my name. Yeah, he knows my name. How he walks with me, you know. How he talks with me. How he tells me that I am. And how you comfort me, you know. How you comfort me, and oh, how you counsel me. It still amazes. But I am your friend. And oh, how you walk with me. And oh, how you walk with me. How you talk with me. Still amazes me. That I am your friend. Say, you know my name. And you know my name. Say, you know my name. Say, you know my. Say, you know my name, Lord. You know my name. Yes, you know my name. And you know my name. And you know my name. And how you walk with me. Oh, how you. And oh, how you talk with me. And oh, how you. I am your friend. How you comfort me, you comfort me. How you counsel. Still amazes that I am your friend. And no fire can burn me, no battle can turn me, no mountain can.
can stop me, 'cause you hold my hand. Now I'm walking in your victory, 'cause your power is within me. No giant can defeat me, 'cause you hold my, no fire and no fire can burn me, no battle can turn me, no mountain can stop me, 'cause you hold my head. Now I'm walking in your victory, 'cause your power is within me. No giant can defeat me, 'cause you hold my hand, and you know my name, and you know my name, and you know my name, and you know my name.
Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is moving in the house, so we want to be respectful for those who are still being ministered to. And so as we close this service, we just want to be mindful of the announcements. We have Connect Riverside that will be happening on November 3rd. For those who may not know, it's where we discuss and we cover the vision and the mission statement of Riverside Church behind Pastor Jason and First Lady Tina Evans. That will be November 3rd. If you want to sign up, you can sign up at rcclife.com. And then we'll also have a dream team orientation for those who want to come and join the serving team and join us. It'll be November 17th. Again, sign up is online. And we want to just take a moment to show a brief video that the elders put together for pastor's appreciation.
To you and let you know that this year for Pastors Appreciation Month, we're going to keep this a little low-key. In light of, you know, who Pastor and Tina are, we've done a lot of things in the past that were ostentatious and flamboyant and wonderful and amazing, but it's a lot. It's a lot. And we just want to kind of make sure that we recognize them in ways that fits who they are. So we're going to keep it kind of low-key this year, and just give you an opportunity personally to let them know how thankful you are for them, the impressions that they made on your life and your family's life since you've been here, and what you're looking to do to kind of help them out in the future and help the ministry move forward. So thank you again. We appreciate you, and I'll pass it off to Mike.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to encourage you with some scriptures. Ephesians 4:11 says that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And that's how we need to look at Pastor Jason. He is a gift to us from the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 13:17 says that we should submit to our pastor and our other leaders so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. Amen?
Amen.
And 1 Timothy 5:17, Paul encourages us to give double honor to those who preach and teach. Jeremiah 3:15, God promised, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And he's certainly given us a pastor that does that. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Throughout this month, Pastor's Appreciation Month, we're going to be giving towards the gift for pastor. And I just want to encourage you to reach in and get what you can, just to express your gratitude to him for his faithful teaching, for his Christ-like conduct, for how he reminded us of life's greater purpose and how he's encouraged us in our faith. And with that, I will turn it over to Brother George.
Hey, Riverside family. Romans 13:7 says we should pay honor to whom honor is due. And we get a unique opportunity to do that this month, to bless our pastors And one of the things that I wanted to share with you guys is all the unique ways that we can do that. Located in our lobby this month is going to be a pastor's appreciation table. There is opportunities for you to write them a little note on that table. Also, we're going to provide you with gift card ideas, and you can find that same information on rcclife.com. Like Mike mentioned, we're going to bless them with a special monetary offering at the end of this month, and so you'll have the opportunity to be able to sow into that. Just prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you to give to that as well. I did want to mention that because they are in the health and fitness this month, we're not going to provide them with any of the special dishes, home cooking that Riverside Family often provides to them. So we want to just respect the fact that they are more fitness conscious this month. And just consider some of the ways that you can bless them. Again, go to rcclife.com and you'll find more information about how to bless our pastors. We love you all. God bless you.
Amen. And so just as the elders spoke, just please pray about what the Lord is putting on your heart. Next week will be the last week to be able to contribute to, well, this week will be the last week to be able to contribute to Pastor's Appreciation Month financially and to be able to give towards the gift basket. And so if we could just all please stand in the house as we go to before the Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Your sweet spirit fills the house, Lord God, and we don't take that for granted. We don't take it, God, Lord, as something that's common. We treat you as more than that, God, and we honor you, Father, for gracing us with your presence this day. And Father, as we go throughout our week, I pray that you help us to be still, God, and just wait on you. And just drink your presence in. Not going with a laundry list of requests. How about we just wait on you? And wait for what you have to say to us, God. Because your voice wants to speak to your people. But we have to be still long enough to be able to hear you. And so, God, that is my prayer. And I pray, God, that you put on our heart what it is you would like for us to bless the man of God and the woman of God, Lord God, and their household with for Pastor's Appreciation Month. Help us to show up and help us to show out in the name of Jesus, because that is what you have called us to do, Lord. And we are going to walk in honor, and we are going to obey. We're going to obey the voice of the Lord. The word that came forth from the elders is that to honor the man of God and the woman of God is biblical. So we will not walk in disobedience. We are going to walk in obedience. God, and I pray that you bless those who bless others. Father God, may you pour back into their storehouse, Lord God, 100-fold. Lord, they're not going to have any lack and they'll miss nothing. In the name of Jesus, I ask all of these things. Amen. May you have a blessed week in Jesus' name.